Hello and welcome, Nets fans, to another season review edition of the Brooklyn Buzz. With me, as always, the incomparable, my good friend, Nick Fay. How are we, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jack. No burner accounts for me.
No burner accounts from you. Hopefully no burner accounts from any of the Nets boys. Hopefully no burner accounts from Sean Marks. Trust the progress. Just remember, guys, make sure you subscribe to the Buzz on the iTunes, on wherever you're listening to your podcast. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Hit us up on the Twitter, at OTG Basketball, at OTG Nick, at the J-Man JBT. But, Nicholas, today we have the hyphen, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. We're going through his season so far. What were your just initial thoughts, initial musings about Rondé's season?
I also have a hyphen in my name, if you didn't know. My name's actually Nick Diesingfay, so hyphen love for Rondé right there. Yes, I've always liked him since he's been drafted, high-energy guy. This year, he really started to develop his skills. You know, offensively, he improved a ton, almost across all of his categories. Points per game, he went up 5 a game. Rebounds, 1 a game. Assist up a half assist a game. Free throws went up. Field goal percentage went up. Free throw percentage went up. You know, there's just so much improvement to like from Rondé this season. It was amazing to see him do it all in one off season. Like, you know, you see players make this type of jump. Usually it takes an off season or two, but Rondé really did a lot of work this past summer. I'm interested to see what he'll do this summer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I literally put in an article out on OTG a matter of hours ago on his season review. I did Karis LeVert as well. And I saw some major similarities in their market improvement. Like, obviously, the coaching has a lot to do with it, but I think you can't take anything away from the two guys, especially Rondé. What he's been able to do to transform his game. I had that really, really early season piece on him on the new and improved RHJ. And, you know, he only went from strength to strength throughout the season. All those things you mentioned, you know, if he's not in our – we had so much improvements across the board. You know, the fact that Spencer Dinwiddie was the most improved player in that conversation for the NBA, we had so much improvement across the board that, you know, it's almost gets lost among all the achievements that Rondé had such an awesome jump this season too.
Do you think there's an argument to be made that Rondé might have improved just as much as Spencer Dinwiddie?
It depends on what you're looking at it from, I guess, Nick. In terms of, you know, Rondé's not as flashy as Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie is at the point guard, is running the floor a little bit. I think he sort of gets lost at playing at the four. Obviously, he's undersized being 6'7", but, you know, there's so many guys, you know, Draymond Green playing 6'7" at the five, and, you know, PJ Tucker's barely 6'6". So I feel like he got lost some kudos in that sense and didn't get as many plaudits as he probably did deserve. And I feel like, you know, within the organization, he gets a lot of love and he's a great teammate. We saw those tweets going around and those Instagram photos of him getting dunked on by Jeremy Lin at that barbecue, which was good fun, despite Jalen Rose's musings. Thank you for taking the back, Mr. Rose. But it was good to see, you know, Rondé finally getting some credit that he deserves across the board. And he was also, you know, defending the Nets squad as well. So his leadership is one thing as well that I think he sort of improved upon as well.
Yeah, he's definitely a leader on that Nets team emotionally. And when he didn't play, the Nets were 2-12. You know, the Nets weren't a great team, but 2-12 definitely sticks out. And like you said, you know, he stuck up for the Nets when Jalen had to say, talk some shit. But at least, like you said, he took it back. Also, I think Rondé, one thing where he kind of had that, you know, the edge over Spencer is Rondé was way more consistent. You know, we kind of knew what we were getting from Rondé almost every game, you know, the high energy effort where Spencer had his months and some of that was D'Angelo coming in and out of the lineup. But I think Rondé was just a more consistent player. And I think there's definitely an argument there. But like you said, playing the point guard position, it's a little bit different, a little bit more on your shoulders. But I was really impressed. Overall, his energy, his heart, his leadership. I mean, I love his defensive, you know, versatility, you know, and his mid-range game improved so much. Also drawing fouls. You know, playing at that four, I think, really has helped him. He's come out and said he really likes playing the four, and that's his natural position now. And his ability to be a little bit quicker and attack some of these bigs, kind of get them in a weird position and draw the fouls, I think was huge for the Nets and something they'll really need moving forward if they decide to keep Rondé long-term.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned in my piece that he was top 10 in N1 plays on the season with 38. And, you know, he was alongside guys like LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis. So he was in some illustrious company. And you mentioned those free throw attempts, you know, at 4.6 per game, you know, his percentage at around 77, 78%, a pretty solid mark, you know, not as good as, you know, Joe Harris and Allen Crabbe. I'd like to see that go up to the 80 range because I think, you know, if you've got that really solid foundation from the free throw line, you know, it can certainly help you when you're sort of spacing out to the perimeter. And obviously, he's got really nice lateral quickness. He's got a nice quick first step. There are a couple of videos I posted on OTG with the article, just showing how he's able to have got that quick first step and get into the lane. Whether he's playing around from the elbow, that 10 to 16 foot range, or whether he's even on the perimeter. He's got some decent handles. I think that's probably an area he can probably tighten up a little bit, because we've seen him in transition, especially early in his career. He's a really great sort of player in transition, and I think that's probably an area that's sort of stagnated a little bit. Partly because it wasn't asked as much of him in terms of what this team is doing now, and in terms of getting more transition threes rather than transition sort of layups. And Karis LeVert was doing a lot of what he would probably do. So they're sort of clashed in that sense in terms of their skill set. But yeah, Rondé's ability to get to the line was second to none.
Yeah, very impressive. And just going forward, always getting to the free throw line helps the Nets, helps the overall team, gets you a bucket when you need it. And Rondé almost earlier in the season, he was like the bucket getter for the Nets. They needed a quick bucket. They'd throw it to him in the post. And like you said, he'd work one of the bigs, get to the free throw line, get one of those and one plays. You mentioned transition. I felt like he calmed down a little bit in that. I also feel like Rondé could throw it down a little bit more. There's a couple times where he's had the opportunity to dunk the ball and he's tried to lay it in and he's missed. I think his dunks were down this year compared to the previous season. Now, obviously, he played more minutes this year. Some of that is opportunities. And another area, like we talked, mentioned Karis LeVert. We mentioned Karis needs to cut more to the rim. I think Rondé could cut more to the rim too, especially being so athletic at that four position compared to some of the guys that he goes up against.
Yeah, there was some key clips that I sort of posted with, which showed him doing that. And obviously, because when he's coming up against guys at the four, he may have a real quickness advantage on them, especially against the sort of bigger, bulkier guys. And he needs to sort of use that sort of quick step. He had that jumper that we know, that turnaround jumper, that's sort of become his signature move, so to speak. His points per game this year, he had 11 games where he scored 20 points or more. And he only had 19 games where he scored less than 9 points out of his 68 games. So it was certainly a very consistent season for Rondé in terms of his scoring production. And, it was just some very consistent.
For this season?
Yeah, for this season. It was just a really important piece overall.
Yeah, and I believe before this season, last season he only had 2 20-point games or 2 20-plus-point games. So having 11 this year is just a huge jump. And kind of like we talked about the quickness and the energy, not only is that on the offensive end, defensively he was second in the team in deflections, second in the team in contested shots. Obviously, he was one of our best defenders, and there's still plenty of room for him to improve, but he definitely has the tools to be an elite defender in this league, I think.
Yeah, do you see Nick Rondé playing any time at the five next year? I sort of posed that question a little bit in the sense that, the league is trending smaller and smaller, and if, Rondé mentioned to the media that he wants to sort of start shooting that three a little bit more, obviously, he's at a low. He did improve in that sense, but it's still at a lowly 24-25%. Do you see if he can sort of get that 3-point shot? Do you think that's going to be a sort of key piece for him to be able to stick around at the five?
Yeah, I think not only the 3-point shot will be important, but I think the weight room. And that's something we've talked about on the Brooklyn Buzz a million times. A lot of these young Nets just need to get in the weight room, put on some size, just get stronger, get tougher, get a little bit grittier. I think we saw a little bit of toughness from Rondé that we didn't see from some of the other young Nets, and he needs to kind of build on that. But I think the weight room will help him there. And then overall, just being a little bit better rebounder. He improved rebounding, but I think there is more of an opportunity, especially with his energy level. He could be in there getting more tip outs, also just fundamentally trying to box bigger guys out. I think for Rondé to play more minutes at the five, it's going to be a rebounding thing.
Yeah, I think the rebounding thing, in the sense that I mentioned this, I think, on Karis LeVert's pod, that Rondé spoke to the media and saying that they emphasize guard rebounding. I feel like Rondé has that athleticism, that sort of juice about him, as you like to say, to be able to have that sort of leap where he can sort of, he's got really nice sort of bounce about him. And I would trust him with the ball in transition. The Coach Kenny sort of emphasizes just getting the ball in transition and that quickness and that pace. The Nets look the best when they're at pace, getting, a lot of sort of a lot of looks, because obviously we don't have the talent, let's move the ball quickly whenever we get that chance. So I feel like emphasizing that to an extent, it's sort of having him more of a initiating the offense at times when need be. I feel like Coach Kenny's developed that element of trust in him that I feel like a lot of Nets fans probably have these days. There's an expectation on him that we didn't really have for Rondé. Normally it's just like, oh wow, he got 15 points tonight. Whereas now it's like, we expect 15, 5 and 5, something around those lines for, or 15, 5 and 2 or 3. And I really think he's got a lot of room for improvement despite the fact that he made such a big jump this year already.
Yeah, and it kind of gives you almost promise that he's going to improve a lot this offseason as well. And you talked about tidying up the handle. I think that's another thing where he can improve as a dribbler, ball handling, decision making a little bit. Sometimes he'll make a bad decision, take a bad shot. But if he can improve as a ball handler, that'll allow him to take the rebounds like you talked about, bring it up in transition, and then he's instantly in a mismatch. Because if he's in a guy that's bigger than him, stronger than him, but not quite as quick, now he has that guy in the open floor at the top of the key. He's going to be able to kind of embarrass him. We saw Rondé cross up some guys this season. Not to say that he doesn't have any moves, but like we said, he just needs to tighten it up. And I think the potential as a passer is there. I like the vision. He's made a couple great passes, but I think he can improve a little bit in that area too.
Yeah, you're only looking at the best sort of form of any lineup is having multiple ball handlers, multiple passes, guys that can, you know, find the open man as quick as possible. You know, you'd rather have a heap of ball handlers, a heap of guys who can pass, who can make a shot, who can get to the line. It just makes it so hard to defend any team in that sort of sense. You know, the Golden State Warriors are the prime example of that. A piece on Nets Daily via The Athletic, Bobby Marks made some comments, Nick, of the fact that he said the Nets shouldn't let Rondae Hollis-Jefferson enter free agency in 2019 because obviously he'll have restricted status, but he's the type of modern forward teams look to acquire, one who can guard up to multiple positions, and he's still only 23 years old. What sort of thing do you see, you know, Rondae as a foundational piece for the Nets going forward? What is his role with this rebuilding Nets squad?
Yeah, he's one of the toughest players in the Nets to gauge because we talked about a few things where he can really improve. And I think that 3-point shot is going to be the game breaker for him. If he can shoot 33-35% from three and do the things that he does at the four position, and then, you know, we talked about some ability to play the five, improve as a rebounder, put on some strength, defensive fundamentals, you know, he's a really big piece of the future. He's not, you know, I don't know if he's an all-star type player. I mean, I don't ever want to put a ceiling on somebody and say they can't be an all-star because I think there is potential for that for Rondae. But I think he's a guy that you do lock up, not only just because you want to keep him long term, but then because he's a trade chip. You know what I mean? He's a guy that's going to be coveted across the league with the defensive versatility and possibly the offensive versatility if he keeps improving. Having a guy like him, just think about how the Rockets play defense on the Warriors. They switch on everything. Rondae's a guy that can switch on everything. Like, he can guard point guards, he can guard twos, he can guard threes, he can guard fours. He can guard most fives in the NBA because there's not a ton of bruisers out there. So the versatility is there. And I think when you have a piece like that, even if you don't want to keep him sometimes, you just lock him up because then you have that trade chip moving forward. But I like him in terms of being more of a complementary piece, not somebody that, you know, needs to be your first or second best player, but he could probably be your fourth best player and have a lot of versatility if he continues to improve the way we've seen last offseason.
Yeah, sort of an Andre Iguodala type, sort of that guy who could sort of just fit in anywhere. And I feel like
a Draymond Light.
Draymond Light for sure. I feel like, you know, a complementary piece is the sort of perfect thing. You know, you've got, you know, D'Angelo Russell is the key sort of star. Caris LeVert might be that second or third guy, and Jared Allen. You know, if Rondae Hollis-Jefferson can be space to floor in any sense of the word, it's going to increase his market value exponentially. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be guys who aren't going to be able to shoot the three, but still have, you know, huge amounts of value. You know, Andre Iguodala is by no means lights out from there. It's just being able to sort of have that confidence to take it. And there were times where, you know, you might see even Draymond Green in these playoffs, he hasn't had that confidence. He sort of, you know, looked to pass it off. And even guys like James Harden, we've seen things happen. Confidence is such a huge thing. And I feel like you're with Rondae right now. He's developed that confidence in his game that, you know, he's told that, you know, he's confident and he wants to take more threes. He told the media that. So the fact that he's already in that sort of mindset for me bodes well going forward. And, you know, 24% to a 33% is a huge jump. I'd be happy with anything around the 30% range because even then, you know, you're at least just somewhat of a threat. You're looking at sort of what's going on in Boston right now with guys like Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, guys that are out of contract, but they don't know what their sort of market value is and what their future is. I think the best move going forward, and this is the same thing for Rondae, is, you know, sign those guys on decent contracts, you know, and then you have them as, you know, mid-level sort of contracts that you can trade if need be as filler, because, you know, you can't just have max guys and mid-level guys and max guys and rookie guys, because that just doesn't work well for your salary cap situation. So I feel like Rondae's probably around that mid-range with a Joe Harris as well. And that just fits well. I think Joe Harris is more valuable in terms of the piece as not only with the Nets right now, but as a trade piece going forward. But Rondae certainly has some value within the organization and outside it.
Yeah, I think Rondé, the interesting thing about him is how much is he going to improve this offseason? How much is he going to improve next offseason? You know, if somebody come out when he's a restricted free agent, offer him a ton of money. And you mentioned the Andre Iguodala thing. You know, actually coming out of college, Rondé had that comparison. You know, because, you know, Iggy wasn't the best shooter. He did have great passing. He was able to be a good defensive piece, and he could get inside and dribble a little bit. And you mentioned Rondé not being able to shoot the three. Even if he doesn't become great, I think one thing that always helps his confidence is his ability to get to the line, knock down a few free throws, and then all of a sudden you're feeling a lot better about yourself. So I think it's definitely – the Nets are going to know better than anybody because they're going to see him train. They're going to see his improvement. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they – you know, they feel a little bit more confident in keeping him because they know that he's such a hard worker and such a great leader for this team. Obviously, it's a business mindset, but some of those intangibles you have to take into account.
Oh, absolutely. And, we mentioned the fact that of how many 20-point games he had last year. He also had 12 double-doubles, whereas he only had 10 in his first years in the league, in his first two previous seasons. So his improvement is out of sight. And, you know, you mentioned the 2-12 without him. You know, him and Caris LeVert, when they were injured in February, I mentioned on the Caris LeVert season review pod, you know, the Nets had a gaping hole left there. In terms of
it was ugly.
It was. And when they came back, we just looked at a completely different squad. Now, these two aren't all-stars by any means, but we are bereft of talent, the Nets are. You know, we're by no means a playoff team. We're a long ways away from that. But whenever we have, you know, our good guys out there, our glue guys, our guys that can make an impact on either end of the floor, it just makes a world of difference. And it just makes it lightens a load of guys like Spencer Dinwiddie. It lightens a load of guys like, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Joe Harris. It just makes Allen Crabbe. When you have, you know, your 1 to 9 in all contributing in a squad that doesn't have an all-star at this stage, it makes things so much easier because you're getting that total buy-in, similar to what we saw from the Boston Celtics this year, our famed rivals. Obviously, with what they've been able to do in the absence of not having their two all-stars in Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, and it helps that they have all of our picks. But
imagine Jalen Brown in a Nets uniform right now. God, it'd look good.
I'd be pretty happy about it. I'd be happy about just taking one of those guys. Like, that's all. I don't need them all. Just give us one, and we'll be pretty happy about it. I think
Damian Lillard would be all right in the Nets uniform as well.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be too bad. But Rondé, another thing that I think is an area to improve a little bit or just see more touches as a pick-and-roll ball handler. Like, he was really successful being the roll man. He finished in the 82nd percentile in terms of being the ball handler during pick-and-roll. Obviously, he didn't see a lot of touches. But I think if he was able to develop some type of pick and roll with Jared Allen, that'd be incredibly difficult to defend because both those guys are quicker than the average defender they're going to face.
Yeah, I feel like pick and roll is where a thing where the Nets can sort of really sort of get dangerous. You know, you have multiple ball handlers like we mentioned, and if, you know, Rondé can work on his handle in the offseason, you know, work on some set plays with Jared Allen. I feel like Jared Allen, we've talked about in his season review pod, the amount of upside that he has. You know, if Rondé can learn to bring that out of him as well, he's got such a great partnership with Caris LeVert. You know, a lot of lineups with Rondé and Jared Allen haven't necessarily been, you know, the ideal fit, obviously because neither of them can space the floor that well, but they do have, both have great abilities at the line, and the vertical spacing that Jared Allen has, and like you mentioned, Rondé has, you know, great verticality to him. He just didn't really have that sort of, you know, that will and that sort of toughness to sort of, you know, really throw it down. Apart from a few occasions where I think against Miami, in Miami, he threw down a couple which looked quite nice. So certainly he has all those elements and has all those tools to sort of be a very effective pick and roll player.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any area that you'd like to see Rondé improve on or just see more touches in a certain area?
I really liked his I loved the elbow. I just really – the fact that he's already he turned not a known strength of his into an absolute weapon. You know, he shot my shot chart from NBA Savant showed that he shot 44% from that left elbow. You know, it's not by any means, you know, lights out. But, you know, you felt like it was a bucket most times. And I tweeted out some video from – the Nets Daily guys showing the fact that he was able to just do that quite easily. I just think that he's just got so many tools to be able to, you know, 2.5 assists per game. I reckon he can get it up to 3 or 4. It's just about what Coach Kenny sort of sees his role with this team, because there's just so many other pieces, ancillary pieces around him, that it's going to be like, what is Rondé going to be wanting to do in this offseason? I feel he's going to be jacking up a heap of three-pointers, and there are times where his form looked okay. I'm just going to be interested to see his mechanics, because his mechanics for that elbow jump that we didn't see and being like anything of what it would be today, and it just looked very, very smooth. Whereas that three-point jumper mechanically still looks a little bit
a little bit hitchy, a little bit herky jerky.
So I think in the off season, you know, the Nets have plenty of great assistant coaches. If they can sort of get a really nice consistent form about it, you know, make it a little bit quicker, it's going to make him a really sort of important piece. And he's got so many other attributes that are working well for him. If he can make that at least somewhat of a threat, you know, it's the obvious one, but I feel like it's obvious for a reason.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the three-point shooting, like I said, is going to be the game breaker for maybe his entire career in terms of where he lands. And obviously, there's still plenty of other skills, but with the way the NBA is going, three-point shooting is just so important. When you can space the floor and then you offer defensive versatility like he can, I think that would just be enormous for the Nets or any team that he's on in the future.
If you were to offer him a contract, Nick, if it's come 2019, you're Sean Marks, you know, he's out of contract, he's a restricted free agent, what would, on his current form and his current trends, his current upward trends, what do you think he earns within the Nets and on the open market?
It's incredibly tough. I mean, I think a lot depends on where he play, how he plays this season, his three-point percentage. I wouldn't be surprised. It's so tough. I don't really have a great gauge of the salary right now of the NBA because of, I want to see what happens in this offseason with such a big drastic change with teams going from having ton of cap to having no cap this offseason. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he got a deal, not Marcus Smart level, but a couple million less than what he gets per year, because I can see some similarities in their game.
Yeah, I was literally going to mention Marcus Smart in that sense. That qualifying offer, I assume, is what Marcus Smart will get from the Celtics. He obviously wants 12 to 14, more than 12 to $14 million. I don't think him or Rondae are in anywhere in that ballpark, especially in the current trends in the NBA. You know, a $4 to $6 million range, it would be, you know, I feel like Rondae would love. You know,
I think that would actually be a little bit, it might be on the cheaper side for him just because he's so young. And I think the fact that his defensive versatility is something that's going to be really coveted, especially by some teams that are trying to beat Golden State or a Houston type team. When you have a player you can play out there that can really defend, like Rondae can legitimately defend 1 through 4, 5. Like I said, there's some question depending on who it is, but there's not many guys with his size and his activity and length and athleticism that can guard ones. Like, I actually feel pretty comfortable with Rondae. I mean, there was games where I want to say Bradley Beal was killing the Nets at one point, and Kenny went and switched Rondae on the Bradley Beal. Like, there was points where Kenny put Rondae on the other team's best offensive player.
Yeah, I remember in that Portland Trailblazers game, he was played like 37 minutes, which is unheard of in Coach Kenny's system. But he was just so important defensively, and, you know, just guarding the, you know, the that backcourt in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. He's just so important and so integral to our defense. And, you know, having guys like Damari Carroll around him certainly helped him. And I feel like he's just grown in leaps and bounds. And, you know, defensively, if he can maintain that. You know, if you're a defensive specialist in today's NBA, look at Andre Roberson. You know, he's literally got no, it should be Andre Roberson because he's got no offense. There's no O.
Yeah.
But Rondae has the ability to be, he's much better of an offensive player than Roberson. And, you know, he earns, you know, I think the $3 million deal or $2 million, $20 million? I know it's $10 million per annum. So I feel like Rondae could get to that sort of range. Obviously, Roberson's probably, for me, I had him as a defensive player of the year candidate on the JVT award show mid-year. So if Rondae could sort of be around that elite level range, he's certainly going to get himself a decent pay packet.
Yeah, Roberson, like you said, you were spot on, Jack. He has 2 years left on his deal at 10 mil and then 10.7. And I think Rondae, I keep harping on that he's a great defender. I think he has the potential to be even better. He's just similar to Karis. They need to do some more film study, the fundamentals, just, you know, don't bite on things a little bit. Sometimes with Rondae, he tries to get blocks a little bit too much instead of just staying straight up. Obviously, he's a little undersized, so he has to do that at times. But I do think he has a tendency to bite on fakes a little bit. So just kind of being more disciplined. The potential is definitely there from an athletic standpoint, a physical standpoint. It's all about the mental standpoint for him to take the next step defensively.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't have – he's got a little bit higher of an IQ than Karis LeVert. Obviously, Karis is a little bit younger. But Rondae's obviously been around. It's almost like he's a vet within the Nets locker room.
It's crazy to say, yeah.
Yeah, he was saying that the fact that, like, you know, he struggles against some bigger guys like Paul Millsap in the post, but he knows, you know, the tendencies of each sort of player, of those sort of matchups. So his experience has held him in good stead. You know, he's been around been around the way, so to speak. So I feel like his IQ is one thing that's the strength of his that probably isn't utilized, and his underrated experience. You know, 3 or 4 years in the NBA, that's when he started to go, okay, I know where my place is now. And obviously, looking at Victor Oladipo, he made a huge jump in his 5th year. So it's not to say that this is the ceiling of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I feel like he's still a few years away from that, and there's certainly a long ways to go for him to reach that. It's going to be interesting to see what that ultimate ceiling is for him. Like we said, there's so many question marks, and it's going to be certainly fun looking into that crystal ball going forward.
Yeah, and you almost could toss his rookie season under the rug because he did, I think, I want to say he broke his ankle. He had a really serious ankle injury, and I believe his coach was Lionel Hollins. So I don't think he really learned much then or developed much at all because he wasn't really a big fan of young guys. Even Rondé still got minutes because of his energy. But I think with Kenny, like, it's almost similar to Caris LeVert. We always bring up, like, yeah, Rondé has some good experience because he played so much last season and this season, but there's still plenty of growth too. So I wouldn't, like you said, with the Oladipo thing, there's no reason to think that Rondé can't make huge improvements this year and next year.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that it's happened in such a short span of time and, you know, within the year, he just was able to just be so confident in all areas of his game. I feel like, you know, these sort of off-seasons, bonding trips and seeing what's happening, you know, this is the first year this whole sort of Nets squad has been together. And, you know, they're certainly going to draft someone. There's the rumor of that 14th pick going around with what's going on with the Denver Nuggets right now. So there's obviously an intriguing piece for Sean Marks, and plenty of other teams will be clamoring for that. So it's going to be interesting to see how sort of, you know, the Sean Marks sort of looks at Rondé's role and where he sees him and where he communicates that to Coach Kenny, because Coach Kenny, obviously, he's a great communicator and he's a great players coach. And I feel like that's why we saw such market improvement and such huge uptakes from guys like Rondé, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen in his first season. All these expectations were sort of lifted off. I feel like he mentioned that in the Howard Beck pod, you know, we need to have like a top 30 guy to sort of take that jump. You know, we've got top 100, maybe top 50 guys, but we need to have a top 30 guy. And I feel like, you know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson doesn't have, you know, any sort of set expectations on him, because, you know, you don't want to go, all right, you can't shoot threes. You don't want to be sort of have a guy like a Lionel Hollins, like you mentioned, Nick, and go, look, this is your role. We want you to just do this. We want you to just rebound. We want you to just pass. We want you to just get transition points. Because that's not really realizing the full potential of so many of these young guys. And, you know, 23-year-old going forward, I feel like he's got a lot of untapped potential that could be certainly intriguing to see. I'd like to see that three-pointer. I'd like to see that defensive versatility and that just general IQ, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and I love the relationship he has with Kenny. I think that's probably one of the best relationships, you know, Kenny has with any player in the team, Rondé. And we've talked about that. And we always bring up Kenny doing a great job. We also like to shout out the coaching staff. You know, a lot of the assistants spend time with these guys, the player development guys. They help them in the summertime and really take that next jump. Talking about that, Jack, I'm going to throw a trade offer at you. If Denver said, all right, Brooklyn, we will throw you 14 and Kenneth Faried for the 29th pick, would you take it?
In a heartbeat, Nick. In an absolute heartbeat.
I think that's a real possibility.
I feel like it certainly could be. I feel like there's some people bringing up the Spencer Dinwiddie within a trade piece, whether it's, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie for 14 and Kenneth Faried. I would personally take that as well. I feel like that number 14 pick, it's the highest pick the Nets have had in a number of years, and getting a guy of that ilk in our sort of system. I think Donovan Mitchell was taking a pick 13, pick 12, something around that range. So I feel like there's so much gold that can be found in the draft. And I feel like even, you know, we saw Jared Allen taking a pick, you know, 22 or 20, somewhere in the mid to late 20s. And the fact that, you know, we were able to strike gold with that one, wherever the Nets have their pick, whether it's at 29, whether it happens to be at 14, my fingers and toes are crossed. But would you take it if you were Sean Marks?
Yeah, I think I would take it. I think I might take the Spencer one as well. Maybe even, I mean, I think you could probably work some things. You know, there's always been talk about Malik Beasley being another guy, or Herman Gomez, another guy they possibly could send if you get more pieces involved. But at 14, there's even been talk about Michael Porter Jr. dropping. You know, there's always, that's kind of a range where players tend to drop. So I think if there's somebody the Nets really like, they might even push a little bit. I don't even care about the second round picks that much. I mean, throw the second round picks in if you want to as well. You could always buy one back later on.
Yeah, I feel like those second round picks are likely to be draft and stashes with a few Euro guys. I know that Sean Marks has his eye on that, and there's been a lot of talks from Nets Daily guys sort of posting what the amount of guys that the Nets staff have been working at and checking out in sort of the draft combine and such. So we'll obviously have plenty of that stuff for you guys coming forward. The Nets having some picks, it's going to be interesting to see what the Sean Marks does with them. And obviously, you know, the final starts to roll down a little bit. OTG Basketball will be smashing out a heap of coverage, not only with the finals, but in the offseason, whether it's with the draft, whether it's with the free agency, it's going to be coming at you. And we're going to be coming at you with plenty of pods on the Brooklyn Buzz as well. Nick, as always, it's been fun. Make sure you subscribe again, guys, on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you find your pods. And Nicholas, thank you again, mate.
Thank you too, Jack. And thank everybody for listening. And we'll be talking plenty in next.